We are back on the air, and we're always publishing the stories of entrepreneurship. And my name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm the host of the show. If you have an interesting story about entrepreneurship or someone you know, please contact me at the letter J, Davis at mageusa.com. That's my email at my work address. And again, we're being hosted through all these segments at the law firm of Davis, Mom, and DeAugustine. That means I'm here with the indomitable Pat Clendenin.
Jeffrey, always a pleasure to have you here. Thanks so much for hosting at our offices. And thank you, Tim, our next guest, for being here with us today.
My pleasure. Pat, all I have to see in my date book is Pat Clendenin, and I get up in the morning and I'm ready to go. So I'm always excited to see you.
You were born ready, Jeffrey.
I don't know about that. I was premature, so. But our next guest is Tim Connolly of Mass Technology Collaborative. Welcome, Tim.
Welcome. Thrilled to be here. Thanks for having me.
Thanks. Why don't you tell us about yourself and the Mass Technology Collaborative?
Sure. So Mass Tech Collaborative was formed as 35 years young, and I came on as CEO of that enterprise about 10 months ago. We're designed to, as the term suggests, to collaborate with the legislature, with the governor's office, and with private industry and academia in order to promote the innovation and technology economy here in Massachusetts. We're what's called a quasi, and there are a number of quasis in Massachusetts. They're state entities, but they look and feel like a public company in a way. They have a board, and in essence, our view should be longer in view than an election cycle here in Massachusetts, 2 years. And so not only do we try to promote the here and now, what's important to our industry partners, what's important to the governor, what's important to the legislature, but we also try to look around the corner and what should we get our shoulder behind, so to speak, in the future. And so that takes the form of an innovation institute we have, and we really promote all sorts of industry sectors in here in Massachusetts other than life science and clean energy, which has its own quasi.
Yeah, so Tim, I know I've known you for a long time, and just love hearing you speak about Mass Tech and what's going on. Can you tell some of our listeners about some of the industries that Mass Tech in Massachusetts generally are really focused on these days?
Sure. So I'd say the big four are cybersecurity, digital health, advanced manufacturing, and the Internet of Things / robotics. I mean, those are the big four. We, however, look at a lot of other industries, nanotechnology, autonomous vehicles, some, as I said, looking at what we should do in the here and now, and others thinking about what we should do in the future, and is it something Massachusetts should
galvanize around. But mostly you're in the innovative industry, correct?
Correct.
That's what you're focusing in on, the emerging industries.
Yeah, technology industries, right, and innovation associated with that. So it can happen. It can happen in large companies, medium companies, and small companies, but a lot of what we do is promote the incubators and accelerators here that are present in the state and try to help young companies grow and scale here in the state.
So aside from the fact that that's a big part of the Massachusetts economy, indigenous to that category, a need for help, would you say, that makes them unique also?
Absolutely. I mean, you know, if you think about Massachusetts, or the way I think about the job sometimes, is that, you know, the state is the size of Israel. Turned a different way.
I did that speech at Babson once.
Is that right?
Yes.
It's got 7 million people, which is the size of Israel. We have no apparent natural resources other than fish, and we hit way above our weight. And I think in some measure, we fostered these intersections that drive business over the years. So we'll put together an academic institution and what they're focused on with a private sector company, with private equity, and with government, and really create something that wouldn't naturally happen on its own. So even though the economy we have in technology in general and innovation in particular is very strong in this state, it's strong because entities like Mass Tech have existed over the years, and I think it's important that we keep our eye on the ball, so to speak.
And what are some of the natural, in addition to collaboration, what are some of the natural strengths of why somebody like a GE or another major company would want to move to Massachusetts? Yeah. And then on the flip side, what are some of the challenges that we face over the next decade as an economy?
Yeah. So CNBC just came out with a ranking, and Massachusetts moved up from 2016. We were the 20th best state to do business, as they define it, across multiple factors, to 10th. And where do we score strongly? We score strongly in talent, in an educated workforce in academic institutions, technology and innovation. In fact, technology innovation, we were ranked third in 2016. This past year, or this year, we ranked first. Okay, wow. So that contributed to the movement overall from 20 to 10. You may ask, well, why are we at 10? If we're one in education, one in workforce, one in innovation and technology, it's because we suffer from, you know, I guess you'd say cost of living is very high here,
to get
infrastructure
home,
issues,
taxes.
That type of thing. So it's vital that we score well in those areas and we maintain our lead.
In those critical categories.
In those critical categories.
And those are the categories we can control more.
Well, I think we can control more, and we also need to nurture and start. So, for instance, we funded recently an incubator accelerator lab around cyber medical devices. And this is a collaboration between WPI, GE Healthcare, and the state. And it's a $15 million investment over 5 years, and it's designed to do the following. It's designed to educate students at WPI in the surrounding area. It's designed to be a home where people can start an entrepreneurial company and get some mentorship and the like, where they can establish relationships with a partner like GE Healthcare, and then hopefully spit out and employ people in the greater Worcester area going forward. So those are investments. They take time. They take time to build out the lab. It takes time for the company to grow and prosper. It takes time for the students to be educated. All of that is just rolls on each other. It's a particular strength in Massachusetts. One other thing I'd say with regard to talent, I'd also say, is the cluster we have, the density of the supply chain and customers. So in digital health, boy, it's hard for other states to beat us, I think. We have a density of academic institutions. We have a density of first world-class hospitals. And then we have a supply chain of companies supplying those hospitals that creates that ecosystem, that cluster. So what's the secret sauce in Massachusetts? An educated workforce, a talented workforce, and also, you know, important density of clusters in defined areas.
Lots of collaboration, Tim, right? I mean, it just seems like
the nature of a cluster is collaboration by definition.
So since you took the job over, what are your biggest surprises that you didn't expect?
That I didn't expect. This wasn't in the prep question. I work for government, right? Okay, I'm gonna say I have been impressed with the passion and desire to promote economics and sustainable jobs in Massachusetts by both the executive branch and the legislative branch. Sometimes the work isn't the most efficient. Sometimes it's not entirely on mark. But boy, there's a passion there that is good. I think we all can feel good about as citizens of the state. The second thing I think I talk about is how willing our corporate partners are to help each other and to help the state. For instance, the whole nature of a cluster, okay, is that you have a density of firms in a particular space, say cybersecurity or digital health, all packed around one another. And you can view that as an attribute, and you can also view that as competitors. Mm-hmm. You know, and so in this state, we have an extraordinary community of companies like Amazon Robotics and iRobot that are willing to work together, even though they are competitors, to work with academic institutions and the state to foster an environment that is just simply 1 + 1 = 3 type environment. But I think it takes leadership that is not selfish, that it has a view, a longer-term view, let's say, and has a view and cares a bit, I think I'd say, about the communities in which they live and work. So I think we're fortunate, really, to have a lot of good companies with a lot of strong CEOs, and I think we're good at having a passionate governmental entity. And when you put those two together with our academic institutions, that is a special sauce that Massachusetts has that other states cannot replicate very easily.
That was a good answer. I was just listening to you. I forgot we were on the radio.
There you go.
Do you see any major changes coming in the next couple of years that we should be looking at in Massachusetts? I mean, this is a changing world, a changing economy. Right. What are the big obstacles we need to look at and address?
Well, for us, I like to say at Mass Tech, I mean, they're not coming here for the weather, maybe not, nor for the taxes. They're coming here for the talent. If you look at Massachusetts, we have roughly 120,000 graduates each year. That would be from community college, four-year college, and the like. And of that, roughly 15,000, 16,000 are STEM graduates. That's not a perfect, there are plenty of other degrees that are appropriate for technology and innovation companies, but it's one proxy, and that seems a bit low, you know, for our liking in order to sustain our leadership position. The other is that of that 120,000 graduates that happen, the trick for us is to really keep as many of them as possible in the state. So we want to have opportunities for graduating students to come out, to plant their feet here, to become taxpayers, to become employed here, and to support the companies that we have, rather than going back to their home state or go to an opportunity that exists in California, New York, or some other state. So that we spend a lot of time thinking about that. How can we catch more students that are graduating from here and keep them here? And how can we train those students in areas that we have a particular need? And in that context, technology and innovation, technology, STEM, is an area of interest. You know, my children, frankly, you know, are not going down the STEM route. I think STEM is a tough major. It's a tough major for people to get their hands around sometimes, to enjoy. And I think there's a lot of movement at the state level and in private industry to do things like get high school students into iRobot, get high school industry, students touring world-class companies here and see that there's an opportunity for them in the future. Get families understanding that, because I think sometimes—
Get them introduced early, earlier to STEM.
Get them introduced early, exactly.
All very interesting.
Yeah, I have one more question. As far as mass tech, if
sure.
If you're an entrepreneur in Springfield or in Barnstable County, and you have a nice young business and you're looking for some help, how can an organization like Mass Tech help a budding entrepreneur that's not in one of these, you know, really nice clusters that you're working to develop? What kind of resources do you have available to business?
Yeah, it's a great question. So thank you for prompting me, because I forgot one of our other missions that are really important, not just promoting the technology and innovation economy, but having a geographic lens. There is an argument by some that what goes on in the seaport and goes on in Kendall Square will happen anyway. I don't adhere to that. I think that also there's no way to go from first to last and not take care of your strengths. That being said, I would say about 80% of the things that we fund are what I would call in 128 and out. I gave you an example of WPI recently. That doesn't reach far enough west at this moment in time, but that is an important thing for us. We make things happen at Mass Tech that would not naturally happen on their own.
I would agree with you. I would say, you know, we'd always be ranked high, as you saw before, but I think the reason we moved up is because we've had careful fertilization of entrepreneurship to help foster a movement from 20 to 10 or 20. And I think it's that we're giving us that little extra edge. Like, it's not just going to the playoffs, it's winning the Super Bowl. It gives you that extra edge. And I think that fertilization done in the proper way really helps.
Yeah, and the fact that we exist is important. You know, 35 years ago, that contributed. Not, you know, some states have replicated the quasi model that we have here in Massachusetts, not all by any stretch, and we still have a lead in that infrastructure. So just if I could finish. So the Western Mass stuff, call us,
yeah.
Okay? If you're an entrepreneurial company and you're in Western Massachusetts, you can call us, and we will try to match you with funding sources, customers.
Interns.
Yeah. We have an intern program where we pay 50% of a summer intern in the tech space for companies that are 100 employees and less. That's a terrific thing. And, you know, part of the thing in government, too, and I'll stop because I can tell I don't time out. There are things out there. They just don't sometimes you don't know where they are. And so you can call us and we'll help you find them.
Great. I think clearly we have to have you back again.
Yes,
you know,
we do.
It's a great topic. It's an easy topic.
And if somebody wants to find you, Tim, how would they do that?
They can just reach out to me at Connelly, Connelly, at masstech.org.
Great. My name is Jeffrey Davis. We've been speaking with Tim Connelly. Clearly, a much bigger topic than we had for this one segment. He's going to have to be a serial interviewer for the show. I want to thank Pat Clendenin, my co-host.
Thank you. Thank you, Jeffrey, and thank you, Tim, for
and
being
thank
on
you
the
for
show.
The Blue Room with all the food.
My pleasure.
And the whole law firm of Davis, Mond, Augustine.
Great.
My name is Jeffrey Davis. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.